Well, good morning and welcome back to our generous message series. We are learning how to be generous with our time, our talent, and our treasure. And not just learning how to be generous with it, but what happens? What happens when we are generous with our time, talent, and treasure? And we learned that when we are generous with our time, talent, and treasure, well, we unleash God's kingdom into the world around us. That's right. Being generous with your time, talent, and treasure, well, that unleashes God's kingdom into the world around us. And we learned this last week. We started last week by taking a look at a day in the life of Jesus and how he was generous with his time, right? We took a look at that and how his day started one way and then bad news hit him from the side, right? And he knew that he needed to go and spend time with God the Father, but he just couldn't quite get there, right? There was other people that were demanding things from him, and yet he gave his time, not just to them, to heal them, to have compassion on them, to feed them, but he ultimately was giving this time, moment by moment, this one day at a time, he was giving it to God the Father. And he eventually got there to spending that time he needed to spend with God the Father. But it all was about how he spent that time. He gave his time to God the Father. And so, well, we had a prayer that we were to use this last week. Jesus, I give you my time, right? One day at a time, one moment at a time. Jesus, I give you my time. And I will be honest, I prayed that prayer many times this last week. It was like just hearing my own message coming back and hitting me in the face. Jesus, I give you my time. And this week, we're going to take a look at how we can be generous with our talent. You all have talent. You do. You all have just natural talent, things that you do so well just because you do it. In fact, some of you might be able to do it so naturally, you're just like frustrated that other people can't do what you can do. Like, it just makes sense. Why aren't you good at strategic planning? Like, why can't you put it on the calendar, like, and just organize our lives? Why can't you do that? Why can't you keep our house clean and organized? Things like that, right? It just comes naturally to you, and you're, like, frustrated that it doesn't come naturally to other people. And then we have other things where we're like, wow, we can really see that this person has a talent, right? They have a talent. We can see that talent that's there. And there's just no denying it. And sometimes when we look at the talent, we're like, man, I can't do that. I don't know if I have a talent. But every single person here is just natural talent. And some of it might be real subtle. And to help me to communicate what I'm talking about with this whole thing about talent, I asked my son Levi, who is 11, if he would show us his talent that he has developed over the years. He's 11, which means he's been playing drums and developing this talent for about 9 years. So I asked if he would give us a little demonstration of what his talent looks like. So Levi, if you wouldn't mind, take it away. You can come out from behind there now if you want to. Yeah, so thank you, Levi. Thank you. Good job, buddy. Good job. Yeah. So sometimes we can see it, right? You see the talent that's there, right? And it's been developed over years. I wish I could take credit for it. I swear I wish I could. But nope, YouTube has to take credit for that one. But you can see that there's a natural talent that's there. But did you observe there's another talent that was up here that was really subtle? In fact, it was so subtle, I bet we totally missed it. In fact, there was a couple of different talents that were so behind the scenes that we didn't even pay attention to. How about the talent to create musical instruments that someone with a musical ability can actually play? Right? Someone had to have the ability, the talent to create drums so that they could sound a certain way and fit together a certain way so that Levi could play them, right? Or decorating them, right? The artwork that goes into putting these color schemes together and painting the drums a certain way so they look right and they look nice, right? Those are talents as well, right? But that's my point here. My point is sometimes our talents are so subtle and we don't even realize that we have a talent because it goes under the radar. But it's not true. Every single person here has a talent, an ability. And we're going to look at how we can be generous with that. And it's connected to with another talent that when we come to have faith in Jesus, right, we accept Jesus' way as the way we're going to live our life. We turn from doing things our own way. We realize that Jesus had to die for us to have these other talents. They're called spiritual talents. Okay, in the Bible it calls them spiritual gifts. I'm taking a little liberty with them. But that's the idea, right? As we come to have faith in Jesus, his spirit gets poured out into us, and it not only changes us and transforms us into the people that he intended us to be, but we have spiritual talents that come along with it. And some we can go like, oh yeah, that's definitely a spiritual gift. They definitely are partnering with God in some way that is beyond the just physical natural ability, right? It's something bigger. And for others, they're like, I don't know what my spiritual talent would be as I follow Jesus, right? But here's the big thing. What does all of this have to do? How do these things work together? Just like the drums all work together to do something. Someone has to craft it. Someone has to decorate it. Someone has to be able to play it. They all work together for something good, right? Well, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's masterpiece. And I want us to stop there for a second, just that first line, right? Because as soon as we read that or hear that, what do? We're like, oh, I'm God's masterpiece. Yes, you are. However, what is it saying? We are God's masterpiece. In the way that God has put everything together, the people that can create things, people that can design things, the people that can play things, right? People that can strategize with things. All of that is put together to be God's masterpiece. That's what it looks like together. So it says that he, God, created us anew in Christ Jesus. It's that being in Jesus that makes the difference here. So we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago, right? It's all coming together. And that's how when we come and bring our talent, spiritual and natural, and we give it to God to use, it unleashes God's kingdom into the world around us. Yeah? Yeah. It all works together. And to just drive my point home a little bit more, to show you where I'm getting this from, we're going to take a look at a story from Acts chapter 9. Now, you can go ahead and turn there if you want to. Take a look at Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 36 and following, and I'll get there in a second, but I'm going to give you a little background to it because it'll be helpful. Right? It's helpful to get a little background on the story. First of all, I want to talk about this person named Peter. Peter, who's this guy, right? They're going to go and try to find Peter. Why is that such a big deal? Why is that so important? Well, Peter is this guy that Jesus saw in a fishing boat with Peter's brother and said, hey, come follow me. And Peter and his brother do. They leave their fishing boat to come follow him. There's a time when Jesus goes out and stands in their boat and they've been fishing all night. And Jesus says, hey, why don't you cast your net on the other side? And he's like, well, all right, Jesus, I'll do it. But we've been up all night fishing, haven't caught anything. And they bring in this huge haul of fish. And he's like, okay, you need to get away from me, Jesus, or I need to get away from you because you are something other than me, something so much greater than I'm too sinful to be in your presence. And Jesus is like, no, you're going to come follow me, right? I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of people, right? It's the same Peter that will, at one point, when Jesus asks the disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? And it's Peter that says, you're the Messiah, right? You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. It's that Peter. And it's that same Peter that after Jesus tells his disciples that he himself, Jesus, is going to have to die, Peter stands up and says, oh, no, it can't be. It can't be true. And Jesus has to say, get behind me, my adversary. Get behind me, Satan. You're opposing the very will of God. Right? It's that same Peter. It's the same Peter that will deny knowing Jesus three times when Jesus gets arrested. Same Peter, that same guy. It's the same Peter that after God's Spirit gets poured out onto this group of disciples, 120 in this room, after Jesus has died and rose again, that it gets poured out on them, and they start speaking in all these different languages, and people are going, why are we hearing them speak in our own language, right? It's the same Peter that stands up and preaches this sermon, and 3,000 more people are added to the number of 120 believers in Jesus. That same Peter. And right before we get into the story in that same area of Lydda, which nobody knows where it is. I get it. That's fine. I'm not going to bring out a map for you. But he's in that area. He has just healed someone, right? He's healed someone. And now we have this new story that when this thing that happens to one of the believers, they go out looking for Peter, okay? So it's going to be helpful for to have us that background to know why it's such a big deal. Why is it so important that this group of believers are looking for Peter? Who is this guy? Well, he's a big deal, right? He's a big deal. So, Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 36, it says, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby in Lydda. So they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. So Peter returned with them. And as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. I'm going to stop right there. Did you pick up on any of the natural abilities or anything like that, that or spiritual gifts, spiritual talents that are going on with, I'm going to call her Tabitha because Peter's going to call her Tabitha here in a second, okay? Okay. Did you pick up on any of that? Pretty subtle. Pretty subtle. I think that she made her living by making clothes and selling them. I mean, it seems like a natural talent that she has, right? Provided that she must have taken her money and bought fabric and then made clothes, it's probably the way that she made money. And yet, she takes her time and gives it to Jesus. And what does she do? She gives clothes and makes clothes and coats for the poor and those who cannot provide for themselves, like these widows. So what's her spiritual gift? I don't know. I really don't. I'm honest with you. Like, I mean, I could take some guesses at it, but I don't know what it is. Like, it's not obvious, is it? And yet, it's there. Right? There's something there that she's connected with Jesus. God's Spirit is making her new, right? And it's contributing to the whole. Just not really sure what that is, and that's probably not even the point of the story, right? That's not the point to identify what her spiritual gift is. It's just that it's there. She's definitely being generous with her time, like we talked last week, right? She's taking of her time where she could use it to make money for herself, and she's taking it to make these clothes and to give them to these poor. So it's got to be a response to her relationship with Jesus. And so I'm sure that there is a spiritual talent that's there. I'm just not sure what it is. It's very subtle, and yet it's got to be there. I think that's kind of like our life, isn't it? Just even with our natural abilities, like it just so makes sense that we do what we do. Like whether it's your career, whether your career is stay-at-home parent, that's, believe me, that's harder work, right? Whatever it is that you're doing, you do it because you have this natural ability to do it. I mean, why did you pick the job that you're at? Well, because you can do it, right? And you probably could do it well enough to earn money at it. You didn't sit and think like, man, I should really evaluate all my abilities and see what would be the perfect thing for me, right? You just knew, yeah, I can do this. I could go and do this thing, right? And maybe your talent is with construction, right? And so you just naturally go and do this. And you might come up with people and like scratch that and like, why couldn't they hang this door themselves, right? Why couldn't they install this? It just comes naturally to you. Or maybe you're great with numbers, right? And so you just naturally, maybe you're a teacher or maybe you're an accountant or something like that. You work with these numbers. It just comes naturally to you, right? And you just do this. And it might be confusing you that other people can't do that. That's what I'm talking about here. Sometimes it's so subtle, we just don't even realize that we just do what we do because of that. And I think it works in the spiritual realm as well. Sometimes our spiritual talent isn't as obvious, and that's okay. It's okay. The fact that you still have this connection with Jesus and the life that he gives you, and you are being generous with that. How do you do that? What does that look like? Yeah? All right, well, let's take a look at the rest of the story because we're going to see something that looks a little bit more like, oh, I think we can understand what the spiritual gift might be. It's definitely going to show us that there's a spiritual element going on, okay? We're going to take a look at the rest of it. So verse 40, we're going to pick up the story of Tabitha and Peter. But Peter asked them all to leave the room, right? So there's all these widows and people mourning the loss of Tabitha, right? They're all there, and so he asks them to leave the room. Finding my place. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called to the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. Is that a natural ability for Peter? Yeah, we're pretty sure that that's not just something he was born with, okay? Right? What is the spiritual talent? Raising people from the dead? Maybe. I don't know. Healing people? Well, we saw, you know, if you read earlier, yeah, he did. He went and healed someone. But there's something else going on here. It was directly connected with who he turned to, right? What is the first thing he did after he had them dismissed? He just kneels down and he prays. Right? He's getting connected with Jesus. Like God's spirit is definitely alive within him. And some point in that partnership with God and Peter, he gets something to have to say and turn to the body. He wasn't even facing the body, right? He was just in the room praying by himself. And something prompted him to go, I need to turn to this body and tell Tabitha to get up. And he does. And she does. What's the spiritual gift?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I mean, hey, you can say healing, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, right? And again, not the point. Definitely something there. Definitely something in the spiritual realm of things, right? Definitely something with a spiritual talent, some connection with God the Father, that he pours out his Spirit and Peter listens and he obeys, even if it might seem ridiculous. Is that faith? Is it prayer? Is it intercession? Is it healing? What is the spiritual gift? I don't know. It's not the point even. The point is that it's there, and he is generous with it. And when he is generous with it, he can take Tabitha and restore her back to the body of believers that are there, the good works that he planned long ago, right, for them to do. We get to see the masterpiece of God right there and present. When you have faith in Jesus, and you trust him, and you take your natural ability, and you're given spiritual ability, spiritual talent, spiritual gifts, and you're generous with that, you turn it back to God, it unleashes God's kingdom around you in amazing ways. Sometimes, really crazy ways that you're like, I can't do that. And sometimes, in such subtle ways that you're like, well, of course I do this, right? This just makes sense. And that's the point. If we took our prayer from last week, Jesus, I give you my time, and we copy and paste it for this week, changing one word, what would we be praying? Jesus, I give you my talent. Huh? Your natural talent, your spiritual talent, Jesus, I give you my talent. That's what we see Tabitha doing. That's what we see Peter doing, and it works out to this beautiful masterpiece of God unleashing his kingdom into the world around us. And that's exactly what Peter writes about. Later on, he writes a letter. We call it 1 Peter, probably because there's a 2 Peter. I don't know, but we call it 1 Peter. It's the first one of his letters, and he writes to a group of believers about this, right? 1 Peter 4:10, he says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, right? He's writing to a group of people that have faith in Jesus. God's Spirit has been poured out upon them. They now have these spiritual talents, these spiritual gifts, and there's a variety of them, right? Not everyone is going and praying in an upper room and telling a dead body to get up, right? Not everybody's doing that. Some people are making clothes for other people that can't afford them, right? So that's what some people are. There's a variety of gifts. And what does he say they are for? And invites people to use them. Use them well to serve one another, unleashing God's kingdom into the world around you by starting and just saying, Jesus, I give you my talent. That's the same invitation that you have. You have the same invitation. Your natural talent, your spiritual talent brought in together. You're part of this beautiful masterpiece that you are generous with them to use for one another. They're all important. Some are subtle, some not so subtle. Some are being developed as we speak. Some seem like they're further along in development. But you get to be a part of unleashing God's kingdom into the world by simply praying, Jesus, I give you my talent. I invite the music team to come back up as they help us to go into this next song that's all about giving all of your life to Jesus, your time and your talent, all of who you are. You kneel down and you pray and you offer it up. Subtle gifts and talents, or ones that seem to be bigger than others, right? That you just kneel down and pray and you say, Jesus, I give you my talent.